Welcome to the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your own Desiana Torres. This is a place for humbled, open, and transparent conversations with members of our own community. Here you can find diverse testimonies of the oppression and trauma faced on both individual and community levels. Do you want to validate the suppressed emotions you've never had the opportunity to speak about? Interested in breaking the silence? Then let's validate all that you feel right here, right now on this podcast. Let's go. What I'm going to do right now is pull up a piece on one of my blogs that I had mentioned that I was writing. And what I really want to do is engage in conversation that's super reflective, super transparent. Like, talking about miscarriages and postpartum depression are so vulnerable conversations that I have not witnessed a conversation being held like this before. So I'm really excited to create a platform where we can engage in those conversations, but more so to begin to open up about those struggles that mothers really go through. Like, if you're a mother yourself, or if you plan on having kids, or you know, you help take care of other people's kids, whatever the case may be, we definitely want to engage in those conversations that allow for us to just humanize that experience. So I'm gonna start off with reading a piece from my blog that I'm writing that will be posted maybe after this episode. It says, someone asked me the other day, how are you doing as a new mommy? Hesitant to respond quickly, my mind began to play a quick traumatic scene. Like a dream, visions of myself hit by a big rig filled my mind. It's almost as if I somehow survived this hit and woke up clueless in the hospital with no memory of what happened to me. I don't even ask myself, am I okay? I know I'm not. The days keep going and I haven't had time to catch up. I feel lost. I look around and it seems like everyone around me has it all together. So I smile the fakest smile and I say, it's amazing. I love it. And I do, trust me, motherhood is beautiful, and I can't imagine my life without my baby boy. Can it also be true that it caused me to lose parts of myself, parts of my mind, my sanity? Is it a safe place to say that I don't love those parts of the journey? My energy doesn't lie, and I know that others can feel that it's not the full truth when I say that I'm doing good. But the biggest struggle with postpartum is that folks don't always push beyond the basics to check in on you. That's why it's lonely. Because mothers are often convinced that it has to be this way. And so in this conversation, I want to really highlight that postpartum is part of the journey for many mothers where it's the dark side of pregnancy, the side that not a lot of us folks really engage in. And so I really, really am excited to welcome our guest, Becca. If you are here, go ahead and request to join our live. And as Becca is joining now, I really want you all in the comments to definitely participate, share if something really connects with you, definitely write that out. What we're hoping for is to aim for a community conversation in the midst of this. And so I'm gonna go ahead and allow Becca to come in. And I see y'all in the comments. Hey, y'all. I really appreciate y'all for joining. Welcome, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Hello. Oh, there you go. Can you hear me? Perfect.
Yes.
Take that shot already.
Girl, I had it right here with the water.
Yeah, so I was talking to Becca, and I'm like, Becca, you know, I feel like we might need to take a shot because this is going to be the conversation where we just want to feel at our best too. You know what I mean? And just help, I guess, create that environment. So you said you did take it already. You have it. Oh,
I have.
Well, let's cheers.
Have it.
Oh. All our mommies on here. Welcome. Welcome. Appreciate y'all. Cheers. So Y'all, so we're starting with this conversation. So, Becca, one of the many questions that I have for you is to introduce yourself a little. Who are we speaking to? A lot of folks who maybe don't know who you are yet to be able to get a sense of who you are and
the experiences that you're bringing forth. Yeah. So my name is Becca. I feel like this was the hardest thing of all this prep. This was the hardest. But about me, I am a daughter, sister, partner, a mom. I battle with depression daily. I am a vice president at a bank. So that's as of recent. So I do a lot. I do a lot, but it feels like a little. I'm a business owner, I'm a business supporter.
I love it. Yeah. You literally have your hands like everywhere. That's such a mother thing to do, right?
Everywhere.
Because as mothers, we're so good at that role of being able to be multitask and being able to handle so many pressure, so much pressure from all the different roles that we have. And
I always tell everybody I got one finger in each cookie jar.
I love that.
And it could, like, that's where I'm at.
Else is like, oh, and there's also boundaries to that too. Like, I'm not gonna have my whole hand in there because I need some energy for myself too. And so that's what this conversation is going to be about, y'all. It's going to be open and transparent about us really sharing what postpartum depression could look like. And I want folks to know that postpartum depression could look different for so many folks. I don't want people to believe that because their postpartum doesn't look like the other person's, that it's not good enough to be advocated for. Those feelings that we engage in, especially after delivering or having birth, they're heavy. God, they're heavy.
Yeah, and
like the piece I shared earlier, it's almost like when I said I felt like I've been hit by a big rig, and you wake up in the hospital, you're kind of like, wait, what happened? Because it's a traumatic experience oftentimes, and you don't even have the time or opportunity to really catch up because you're still processing, and the baby's crying, and you're like, you're having to be attentive with what the baby's needs are, so you kind of just put yourself on a back burner oftentimes, and sometimes it catches up to you. And those are the conversations we are going to jump into right now. You ready? Let's do it. So
let's do it.
The first question that I have, because I know that a part of this podcast episode, we are going to be talking about miscarriages as well. I know personally with me, you opened up a little bit about that, but can you also share with folks who are joining in with us today of what that experience was like for you?
Yeah. So I found out, I like had to run while you were talking to go grab tissues. I was like, just in case. But, so I found out April 20th of 2016 that I was pregnant with our first baby. And I believe it was the second week, I want to say like around June 10th is when I had the procedure because I had an ectopic, miscarriage. Which essentially means that the baby just didn't, it didn't attach, and it wasn't a valuable pregnancy. And yeah, so realistically, I carry technically on the chart, I carry to my second trimester. And then it was, I feel like it was a week or 2 weeks where we went in every single day. Every day and every other appointment, it was, oh, we think that this is a valuable pregnancy. And then I would go in the next day and it was like, we're still not finding a heartbeat. So now we don't think that this is a valuable pregnancy. And it was every day we went in at 3:30, and there would always be like the glimpse of like hope that like, oh, maybe, you know, that tech just didn't know, or, you know, maybe we finally got. So I didn't track my periods at that time. I didn't understand how important that was. So we just didn't know. And then we had made the decision to go ahead and get, the procedure done to just scrape everything out, to kind of just start fresh. And we went from, at that point, I was in like a leadership academy for work. And so I took 3 days off from work after having the procedure, and then ended up driving up to Portland, Oregon, because we lived in Oregon at that time. So drove up to Portland, which was 6 hours away, and then was like away from home for a week. So it was a really, I feel like at that point, once it was done in my mind, it was just like, okay, we're done. Task is completed. Like, you know, maybe. And then at We conceived again in July, and I will never forget the night, because it was the night that I told John, I was like, I'm done. After that, like, I don't want to try anymore. It's not fun. I don't want the heartbreak anymore of like trying the test and it not taking. And then we ended up conceiving that night, thankfully, and then found out a month later about our daughter that we have now. So yeah, I feel like for at least, I was halfway through a pregnancy before I actually got pregnant again. I think is like where my mind is at.
And because you're still mourning one, but then also here comes the next one. Like, how do you completely know if you're fully mourned in your grief? How do you know if you've overcome that when you're almost forced to be like, okay, well now I have to be attentive to this. In your grief, what did the support look like for you? Did you find that there was support? Did you find that often you were forced to kind of carry that by yourself?
I do feel like in that time, and I don't want to take away people's truths for them, because if people were trying to show up in to the fullest of their capacity, then I want to give them that and I want to honor that. But you know, for a feeling, I really felt like a lackluster or a lack thereof of support. And I understand at that time, and I've like, you know, I think I've tried through therapy to understand, like, well, just because I don't feel the love doesn't mean that people aren't loving me. But at the same time, I also think that people don't know what to say. People don't know what to say, so then they don't say nothing. Because they're like, oh, I can't offer you advice. And it's like, well, there's nothing that you can say that's going to bring my baby back. There's nothing that you can do that's going to change my today. But really sitting there and kind of just holding space of whatever that looks like or sounds like. Or, you know, I had one, and me and you had talked about it already, where I had one, I don't call her aunt or anything else like that. She's just Crystal to me. But that was really my person. So Crystal really held everything for me. Crystal was, she was my support and my partner. And, you know, she kind of just took whatever showed up for me. She was also my biggest cheerleader, that when the time was right, it would happen for me. You know, that God doesn't make mistakes. So when I look at support, and when they, you know, we all talk about now raising kids of like, oh, it takes a village. Crystal was the village. And that's a lot to put on one person, but that was really just, that was who I had at that point.
I got emotional as you were sharing that, because I could feel what you felt. I was like, that's kind of what I'm feeling now. Because here's the thing about postpartum depression. It convinces you that it's a lonely journey. You have so many support. You can have people checking in and being like, how are you? But sometimes you feel like, no, I need somebody to rescue me. Like, you don't need the, hey, I see you. You need the, how can I help? In what ways can I show up for you? In what ways are you struggling? Even if it's to allow for us to vent that out. And, you know, that person who was your village, it reminds me that's my mom. You know, she's the only one who constantly calls me, checks in on me. And she's like, no, it's okay not to be okay. And with her, I feel safe to show her my real emotions. Like, damn, this shit is hard, you know? Like, damn. I'm like, at the same time, I'm like, bowing down to her, because I'm like, you did this with four kids by yourself. And shout out to parents who have more than one kid too, because man, look,
that's a whole different beast.
And so when it came to your healing and your grief, I wanted to know if there were any comments that were also made that you felt were insensitive to your experience and your mourning.
I shared this with Johnny actually earlier, and there was only one that stuck through me. And I think from the beginning, So with the first baby, I always felt like we didn't, like I didn't know. Like I always felt like, oh, well, we'll see. We'll see if this, like whenever anybody would ask me about it, I would always be like, oh yeah, we'll see. We'll see if it sticks. And so maybe, you know, now knowing like the power of manifestation, that may now maybe I'm like, okay, Becca, like careful how you put things in the universe. But I think there's a lot, you know, it's like you get the first phone call. For us, we were giving the first phone calls and it was, oh, well, be careful. Don't tell too many people. Well, it's still early. So be mindful that whoever you tell, you also got to make that phone call to tell if something happens. And when I was giving, I would get off the phone so mad and look at Johnny of like, congratulations. Like, why wasn't congratulations your first thought? And then the, okay, let me talk to you about this. But there was one, and it was right after, it was the week after I had my procedure, and the person had made a comment of, because me and Johnny were going through a lot during that time. Like we weren't our best selves. And the person had made a comment in regards to, well, maybe this was a sign because you guys just aren't ready to be parents yet. And when you are pregnant and I've always said it, a woman becomes a mom the day you find out that you're pregnant. A man does not become a father until the day that you have the baby. And for me, in my mind, I was like, I'm still a mom. And now I'm grieving this baby that I don't get to take home. And at the same time, we're trying to conceive to have another one. But I think that one, and I know that person like didn't mean it with ill intent, but it was just like, yeah, everything that comes to your mind doesn't need to come out loud. Like, just keep those things to yourself. But I think that was the one, you know, I think, you know, at that point, I put on a really hard shell that I didn't need to talk to anybody. I didn't, oh, how are you doing? You know, how is this? I'm good. Oh, I'm really sorry about it. It's fine. And I think I started to feel more of everybody's silence after. Because then it was like, you don't say nothing. Like, you know, the check-in has gotten little to none, or the words of encouragement have gotten little to none. Or they just felt like a checkbox. Oh, did I reach out? Did I say what I was supposed to say? So, you know, I think if I can look back on it and think of, you know, the support or, you know, the comments, I think there were moments in all of it. And I think, you know, I know people, I know my support system who was there for me at that time didn't mean anything ill by it, but it's such a hard topic to not take offense.
I really feel that too, because I feel like, I think with folks, when it comes to situations like that, sometimes it's real easy to admit that sometimes we don't always have the words for the situations. We don't know how to comfort folks who are going through an experience that maybe we have never been through. And mm-hmm. I wanted to ask that question because I think it's really important for us as a society to really be intentional with the ways that we speak to people. If you don't know what to say, it's okay to be like, I really don't have words for you right now. Like, you know, is there anything you, and then you can, you know, open up the space for the folks to be able to share. But sometimes I feel like those comments rob our joy in the pregnancy. You know, like, I remember being 4.5 mm-hmm. months pregnant, and the reason why my pregnancy was kept a secret too was because I was informed that I didn't have a healthy uterus, and I would wake up every day scared that one day the heartbeat will stop, or one day, you know, they would tell me that, you know, the baby is no longer living. So the attachment that I had with my son during pregnancy was, it was almost non-existent. And I share that so.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so hard for me to say. Woo.
Yeah.
Because you get scared of attaching yourself to a child that doesn't make it and the pain that comes with that. And what makes it harder is you already having these pre-existing fears. And then the comments that you receive from other folks are, oh, when I was 4.5 months pregnant, I had a miscarriage. Or, oh, be careful, this is the tough part. This is when you see if the baby's gonna survive or not. And it's like, damn, when I just really need y'all to pour life into me. I need y'all to speak life into my womb, speak life into my child, speak life as if this is something that will come and it will be a healthy pregnancy. And like you said, I feel like folks don't do it intentionally to really be harmful, but it's just one of those things of like, if you don't have, if you don't know what to say, it's okay not to have the words. Maybe a hug will do, you know? Right. I'll take a hug. But then it comes in to my next question for you of how did that miscarriage and that experience already impact your ability to either bond with your new baby or feel safe and have a healthy, you know, joyful pregnancy that we see all over social media?
I wish that like some of the things we talked about at dinner last night, we just would have skipped over. Because, you know, a lot of what you just said with your pregnancy, I didn't allow myself to be happy in my pregnancy. It was, you know, and I went, so back then I would call Crystal daily and, you know, every day would be like, you're pregnant and you're doing that. You're okay. You're safe. And, you know, talk to her. And I didn't have that kind of pregnancy. You know, and I saw so much of what you were doing through your pregnancy. I'm like, how beautiful, how intentional, to have these moments. I didn't do anything of it. You know, I don't have outside of like the, in the mirror of like the weekly or monthly things, like I didn't have anything for Nevaeh. I think my baby shower, I wore like all black. So like no bump, you couldn't see like anything. And I just wear black all the time anyways. But I think back then it was really of like, I almost didn't want the footprint of pregnancy. I just wanted to completely evade it. And in my mind, then, and honestly, I think it clicked for me the other night when we were at dinner, is I don't think my postpartum depression started with Nevaeh. I think it started with the miscarriage and it just went untreated for so long. To where, you know, during that grief, and, you know, I do remember, so I ended up having a scheduled C-section, and I almost didn't believe that we were taking her home until like I heard her. And, you know, Johnny would sit there and he's like, you know, she's here. Like they took her out and I'm like, is she okay? Like that was my first thing of like, is she fine? And there's pictures in the hospital that, you know, that first day Johnny did everything with her, the bath, the getting her situated. I mean, I was still on meds, but I really don't feel like there was a connection with me and my daughter until she was two, until she was older. And realistically, when I looked at it, until I started my healing journey, I didn't get connected to her. And so I think it just all, it when I look back on it, I'm like, God, that was like a span of like a year and a half, almost 2 years. But I'm like, all the little things, all the little like joyous moments or, you know, getting the nursery ready. It wasn't this like big Pinterest thing. And I feel like everybody sees it and like social media is such a lie, such a fabrication of what are their highlights. They're highlights that you choose to share. They're not real life. And it wasn't like that for me. And, you know, I do think I get trapped in the social media spell of it of like, oh, I should have had that or I should have did this. And I was like, it was what it was, you know, and that when Nevaeh is an appropriate age, I'll be able to share that with her and now be able to have some kind of foundation of, you know, I'm telling you this because I did this with you and I don't want you to do it again. Instead of just, Well, let me just give you like this really pretty story, like all wrapped up, and keep you from like what the truth really felt like.
Appreciate you sharing that as well, because it's so hard to admit that that's what our reality looked like. It's supposed to, when you hear that, oh, you know, you're conceiving, you're carrying a child, I felt like it's supposed to be this magical moment. And I was waiting for that moment.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I don't feel it now, but maybe when he's born, I'll feel it. And when he was born, I was still not all the way there. And I, you know, have struggled with depression pre-pregnancy in the past. And that's what led me to want to become where we are now. But going into pregnancy, that's a whole different kind of depression. Like, I've been through depression before. This is like depression times three. Like, oh my goodness.
Right.
And as if like for me, sometimes I get comfortable sitting in that place. And to where it feels uncomfortable going outside of that. And I'm like, we got to go where? With who? Who's going to be there? Like, you want to go outside because you know that social interaction is something that could help feed your soul. But at the same time, you're like, I don't like the way I look. I'm struggling to exist within me right now. And I struggle to be fake. Like, I can't do it. So I can't put myself in a situation knowing that I can't always pretend on the outside. And it's exhausting. That part is so exhausting, of having to pretend, because sometimes, like, even if you openly share, like, you know, I tell people all the time, like, I'm real with them, like, you know, I'm struggling, like, damn, this motherhood, like, yeah, it's beautiful, but at the same time, like, I sometimes feel like I'm drowning, or that I'm doing enough. And so the next question that I have for you is, what did your postpartum depression look like for you? Because it could be different for all folks.
Lord. Postpartum depression. It was silent. It was silent, but it was very prevalent. It was, oh my goodness. That shot was a bad idea, I'm telling you. So postpartum depression. So I want to say, it was like 2 weeks, maybe a week and a half, where I almost, I almost went through with suicide. And I will never forget that night. Oof, my God. So we were up, and Nevaeh and I were up, and I was feeding her. And at that time, like, I had just found this church, like this amazing, amazing church, but it was in our hometown, so I would only watch it online. So when I had Nevaeh up at night, we would listen to worship music. And I just, like, remember this night that, like, holding her and, like, rocking her. We had our closet doors were mirrors. And I was just, like, looking at us, like, in this mirror. And just, like, sobbing, just completely sobbing. And, like, I really talked myself in to thinking, like, I rationalized the whole thing. Johnny had just got his teeth pulled, like, a couple days before, so he had strong pain meds there. And I was like, I'll finish them off. I'll take these. I'm going to go to sleep. He'll be up in a couple hours because he's going to need to get up to, you know, for Nevaeh. And it won't be like this gory mess. I'll just be asleep. And they'll be fine. They'll move on. And I, like, really told myself that she would be so much better without me. That if this was the version of a mom that she was going to get, she deserved better. And she, you know, she would have better. I knew, like, my mom, I knew her godparents would like step in. I knew like her support would like be there. And I remember just like, I remember just pleading. I was just like pleading with God of just like to save, just to save me, just save me, just make this better, make me feel better. And she finally fell back asleep. So I went and put her in her bassinet, went and got Johnny's pain meds and like put him out on the dresser. And in that moment, Johnny moved. He like turned over. He like made a noise, something, but like it was the switch. And I thought he like got up. So I like stopped, completely stopped. I like looked over, did the like pause to make sure like he wouldn't see anything. And it was really looking at him, knowing that Nevaeh would never get the best version of her father if I wasn't here. And so I put it all away. And we went to a lactation appointment the next morning because we were so adamant of like wanting to do it naturally and wanting to like, we left that lactation appointment and we went and bought formula. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. You're going to help. I need the help. Started like getting out for walks every day, for like Nevaeh's, but like it was that night that like changed everything for me. That changed. And I think I went into like hyperdrive because I went into like, okay, I knew how low I got. So now I need to overcorrect. Started the business right after. I got busy. I got great at being busy, to where like I was the social media mom back then. I was home, but my house was clean and the dishes were done and the clothes were put away and folded and everything was perfect. So I got very good at distracting myself from not ever feeling that way again. And realizing, like I said, Nevaeh is about to be 6 years old. So at this point, this is 4 years of like really connecting with her, to where I never felt a connection with her. I couldn't wait to go back to work. I fell in love with work. Johnny decided to take the first year off to be with her. And I was like, cool. The first day was hard. But once I was there and I was in it, I was like, I needed this. I needed this outlet and I needed this situation. And I just got really fucking good at it. I got really good at functioning with depression. I just got diagnosed with it almost a year ago. But you know, I thank God for that night because I'm so intentional now in my parenting because I know how close it was for me to not have that. And with Nevaeh is my best friend. If there is, I get so sick and tired of that little girl, but I am obsessed with her because anything I can do it with Nevaeh. If I'm going to the gym, she can come with me or she wants to come with me. And I want her there as much as she wants to be there. But anything that I do, like that's really my mini me. And so we just got back from vacation and it's not even the big moments where I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I'm here. It's the little mundane things in the middle of the day where I'm like, thank God I didn't miss this. Thank God, like, you know, her like belly laugh, like, thank God I get to hear that. But yeah, you know, and I think I have a lot of family on here right now and friends that are probably hearing this for the very first time because we've never talked about it. You know, Johnny just found out a couple months ago when we were just having like a really transparent conversation. But you know, I hate the saying, like, check on your strong friends, because your strong friends aren't ever going to tell you because they're so used to being strong. You need to press on your strong friends. You don't just take, like, life's okay. It's okay. Don't take it for an answer. Like, tell me what's good about life. What feels right about life right now? What makes you feel full? Because I have people checking every day. I have people checking every day. You know, how's the baby? What are you guys doing? And blah, blah, blah. And it was so easy to say, like, we're good. We're fine. And I would put it down in reality with him. Be like, I am not okay. And I am so, I'm drowning. I am drowning in my own body.
I really appreciate you being so open and humble and transparent to sharing this in the way that you are, especially on a platform like Instagram. And what I'm seeing throughout the comments is so many people are validating that. Someone also just messaged, they said, love you, Becca. So much love being sent your way right this moment. You were loved. I appreciate the openness with it. Just so much love being poured onto you. And I feel like that's truly important to grasp and sit in, you know. Sometimes when it comes to being vulnerable, we're so scared of it because of how people perceive it. And when you're on the other end of it, you realize the support that you get and how seen you are, like how seen you feel with the experiences that you carry. We also have a comment that says, I felt that my child would be better without me, thought. Someone's asking a question. What advice do you have for moms who constantly have those thoughts?
Love yourself. I think there's such a, we lose ourselves in our child. I think any mom, I don't care how much you love your child, you lose yourself in your child. And I think it's really important. It's not selfish. So take it out. I don't care what social media. And thankfully I have a partner who like really understands this now of in order for you to pour into your family and your children, you have to be poured into first. So if that's reading a book for you, if that in grocery store, grocery shopping, that is not you time. I don't care. Like you going and doing things for your house is not you time. And I think there's a beauty in talking to your kids. How do you need me to show up for you? I want to be better. I love mine and Nevaeh's talks because I'm able to sit with her and say, I'm having really big feelings. Mom needs a timeout right now. Let's come back together. But right now, mommy needs a timeout. And then coming back of, I don't like how that made me feel. How do you want me to do this better next time? How can I show up for you better? But I think it's really, you know, I don't think there's like a secret sauce. There's not the secret sauce to depression. And I think everybody, I just asked my therapist this last week. I'm like, how do I graduate from you? Cause like, feel like we're on a hamster wheel. There's a lot of triggers. Like, just so how do I graduate? Like, I want to, my type A personality is coming in now. But there is no one size fits all for depression. And there is not, I think as moms and as women, we always are feeling like we're supposed to be the one showing up for everybody else. We're supposed to fill everybody else. We're supposed to complete everybody else. And that's not our job. Our job is to sit here and support those around us the same way that we would want them to support us. You know, me and my partner have been together for almost 15 years, and we went a long time of that thinking that we were supposed to complete one another when all we were supposed to do was understand and encourage one another. And it's the same thing with our kids. My job as your mom is to lay the foundation for you. If you choose to take it or not, that's on you. But I'm going to love you the same way. But I can't put all of me into you. You know, they're going to love. They don't need perfect. I think me and you were just talking about this. They don't need perfect. They need present. They just need you there. They want you there. And I think that is a beautiful thing. When your child wants you around, you've done parenting right.
And I appreciate you. I believe that's Tanya who asked that question, but I know a lot of moms listening in on right now were able to pull that in. Some moms are also sharing. We have Rachel with, oh, since Desi's book, I've been trying to find that me, not the mom me or wife me, just like the me. And that always hits. And then we have comments that say, me time is sitting in a car, staying up at night for quiet time. Mine is a hot bath and my shows. I feel all these so much. For me, it's like when I'm in the shower, don't disturb me. Like, don't knock on the door, you know?
Right.
And sometimes I can hear my son crying outside, and that's a challenge because I'm like, I want to go out and just be like I got him. But then I need that moment.
Right.
So that I can come out and be like, I got him. Instead, you know, like, it's a difference.
Right.
And,
yeah.
Going back to, you know, your struggles with postpartum to the point where suicide ideation did exist, I really want to highlight how normal of an experience that is for many moms who are going through this. If many of you tuned into the first season, my mom was also a special guest, and she shared when she took a bottle of pills at one point. I believe I was probably like 9 or 10 years old. And I was the oldest, and I believe the youngest was probably like 2 or 1, like it was fairly new. And my mom reached that point. And there are moments where I'm like, if I had not been able to pick up the phone and call my mom, especially now with being a mother, that moment
right.
would have been robbed because she was drowning and no one saw. There's so many of us mothers who feel like that, where we're often, sometimes we think it's obvious that we're drowning. You know, at least for me, I felt like, yo, I told y'all my
right. Red flags are there.
And it's like sometimes you just want people to be genuine with that support without also feeling like a burden onto other people, because sometimes we feel like we're supposed to have a grasp of our own mental health. But it's so hard to manage when you have a newborn or when you're mourning still a child who didn't get to make it to Earthside. There's experiences that many of us have as mothers that definitely impact our ability to connect to our children, to connect to ourselves, to connect to the world. Like, and I want folks to know that sometimes it does take a long time to recover from that. And I remember you sharing, you're like, I was just diagnosed, right? And your daughter is going on 6, right? So that also highlights how long it can be existing without us even knowing or having it diagnosed. And so the next question that I have for you is, what advice can you give to mothers who are struggling with postpartum depression right now?
Oh, God. It's okay. It is okay. And if all you did for that day was to show up and feed your kid and get them, it's okay. But when you're ready, you got to get up and do something for you. I think that's my biggest thing is, you know, back that 6 years ago, you look at social media, none of this was here. I was thinking about like, what did social media look like 6 years ago? And like YouTube just started. Like that was the biggest thing. Makeup hauls and all this other shit. It is okay to be an individual and be a mom. It's okay to still find things that make you feel full and make you feel life. You should not be a prisoner in your home. You should not be a prisoner to your family. Nobody else has more of a responsibility to you than you. And I think that's it. You can't expect to fix everybody else and you're feeling so broken or so alone. Those babies will be there. I promise you they will be there. And I feel like you appreciate life more when you're fighting for it. When you're like, I'm telling you, there is not one day with my daughter where one, I don't think about her brother, and two, that I don't think about what would your life have looked like today if I wasn't here, because I thought you would be be better off without me. And now I know seeing you, you wouldn't have been. And for me, so my diagnosis is high functioning depression with a trigger from postpartum, undiagnosed postpartum. I will go through episodes. I'm on like my favorite couch right now because this is just where I exist. When I'm in an episode, when I'm in a low episode, this is where I'm at. This is my safe place. And I love being outside. My patio is right there. And there are just some days I can't get to the patio. I can't do it. I don't even want my curtains open. It doesn't mean, you know, living with it. I would say speak up. Find somebody that you trust to speak up. That's not going to hold judgment. That's not going to hold. We were talking about it the other night, Brené Brown and like her shame story, or who do you have to trust people with your shame story. Find somebody that you can trust with your shame story, because it's not always going to look pretty. And when you're in your high, your same village has to be ready to move to your high from your low. They can't hold you in that low. It's not fair to you to have a circle that holds you in this low. They got to be ready to swing with you in whatever variation that shows. And so I think really like having a transparent, supportive village, I think doing something for yourself once a day, 10 minutes. If you're able to be on TikTok or Instagram or anything else for 10 minutes, you can pour into you for 10 minutes. Just find what lights your soul on fire. I'm like, and it changes when you have a purpose in life outside of your children. And I'm not, and if that is your purpose, is that you just have your child and that is your purpose on life, is to create these amazing human beings that are going to do amazing things in this world, then please be intentional doing that. But even when you're doing that, you have to refuel yourself, because that's so much outpour. That is so much outpour. That's so much intention that you also have to be intentional to connect with yourself. You have to. It's the only way you're going to survive and not lose yourself.
Especially not lose yourself. Or trying to even regain pieces of yourself that you felt like you mm-hmm. lost during pregnancy. I want to highlight that people's relationship with their pregnancy is different amongst everyone. Everyone connects to their pregnancy differently. There's probably folks on here who had the best pregnancy ever and they're like, this was so amazing, I'll do it again. Like, ooh, like I want to really embrace all the experiences that come from it. And what that looks like is shedding light on the good, which we already see on social media. We don't always have to create a platform to share the good that already exists. The purpose of this conversation is to create platforms for us to have the uncomfortable, vulnerable conversations of what looks like when that phone screen comes down, when that app, when you close your phone, what does reality look like for you as a parent, as a mother? What does your mental health look like? Are you struggling? Are you taking time for yourself? What does your support look like? Do you have a supportive team behind you, or are you alone in this? You know, there's so many different attributes to an experience that can really alter what we go through. And when we speak about postpartum mm-hmm. depression, something that I really want to highlight to folks is it can really convince you the things that you think about in your head that aren't true. Like postpartum would tell mm-hmm. you that you were such a horrible mom and you're not doing enough. And you'll believe it if you allow yourself to. And that's the hardest part about postpartum depression, is having to convince yourself otherwise. And you remind yourself and be gentle with yourself. It takes so much more energy to do those things, but they are so critical to the roles that we carry as mothers. And it really alters the way that we show up for our kids. There are times where I recognize like, whoa, I think I was in a 2-day episode. Like, I was there taking care of my son and everything he needed. There, you know what I mean? Like, it was like almost like we were talking about it.
Right.
Yeah, like, okay, the check, hey, diaper change, bottle, he's fed, Spanish lessons. Like you just mm-hmm. get so used to making sure that everything's okay that way, to where when you become present again, you're kind of like, that was kind of scary. Like, I was not present, or, you know?
Right.
And
it's like, you know, when you're driving in the car and you just muscle memory and you like park and you're like, how the hell did I get here safely?
That's perfect.
That, yeah. When you're addicted to the routine and you're like, all right, we made it. And then you look up and it's like, I wasn't present for any of this.
And that's what postpartum does. It robs us of those happy times, those happy memories, because we feel so heavy all the time and we're trying to feel light. And I feel that one of the biggest things about postpartum is learning healthy ways to cope, learning who your support team is, and if you're really needing help, like learning to be uncomfortable asking for the help. I am someone who my family considers the rock of the family. Like, if you've seen the movie Encanto, I'm the Luisa, you know? And
yeah, all the muscles.
And it's so hard to ask for help for me personally, because when everybody asks you for help, you just have this pressure of, I'm supposed to have all the answers. If they're coming to me all the time, can I come to them? You know, it's almost that rock in a hard place. Like, you need the help, but who do you go to? Or who do I talk to? Or who can understand me without judging me? Because you have some folks who, I remember sharing with a mother, like, you know, I'm really struggling. I believe the first month was really hard for me to bond with my child. And when I expressed it, they're like, oh, like, just do skin to skin and you'll connect right away. And I'm like, it's not working. So is something wrong with me? Like, am I broken? Like, My skin don't work. It's hard, and I think it's more of the emotional state of where we are rather than, you know, our situations. And for people who are on here and who are struggling with thoughts of, like, I'm not good enough for my child, and maybe my child might be good without me, I want us to really be intentional with the way we move. Take a moment to pause in that thought. Sit in it for a second to be like, I am self-aware that this is what I'm thinking. But then do something to counter that thought. Go tell your child I love you and allow for them to say it back to you. And let that remind you that my child needs me, and me being here for them is, you know, purposeful for their growth and for my own growth. And I feel like what we can understand better as a community is knowing that some days we're going to have really good days. Like, in life in general, there's really highs and there's some really low lows. Like, it doesn't mean that life stays that way. There's always a time when we go up, a time we go down, a time we're neutral, up, down. And the best advice that I could personally give is to truly be gentle with yourself. Like you said, Becca, if it's like one thing a day that you're doing for yourself, that one thing a day does make a difference. For me, for some reason, it's brushing my teeth. Like, I don't know. I can tell when I'm like being depressed when I don't want to get up and brush my teeth. I don't know why. That's just my relationship with depression has been since I was younger. And so when I start thinking I'm like that, I go in the bathroom and I brush my teeth. And what I imagine for myself is I'm brushing off the depression. And it helps. It's a visual learner for some reason. Either that or in the shower, where you're just like, negative energy, come off of me. Like, we're going to come out of the shower a brand new person. And sometimes you're having to put in that energy and effort to do that a lot. That's the hard part. It's not like you just do the time.
Right. When you got to pull yourself out of bed and say, like, okay, it's time. You've sat in it long enough and it's time.
Yeah.
That's hard. For you to be so aware of where your body wants to be, where your mind wants to be, where we want to live. And then, shit, not just for you, you got a kid, you have kids, you have a family that you're still trying to do, and to maintain and to be there for, and to, you know, all these things where it gets tiring, the draining, you know, the pulling, the dragging, like it can get draining to where you're like, I'm tired. I'm tired. You know, it's like I'll take her to school and I'm like, I'm back on the couch. Like, I'm tired. You know, I think for all of this, I've sorry, Des. I'm just reading like what people are saying, where it's like they're feeling the same, or you know, realizing the showers for depression, like. And then, but what it, like you said, pulling yourself out of it and doing that one thing, and it's like, okay, I could do this. There go like the sparks a little bit of like, here's life.
Yes, and we have a comment as well that's talking about making the bed. Yes, that's how my mom was. Her bed had to be made. For me, it's not the bed because I'm going to hop right back in that, you know? Understand for some folks that making the bed, like that's one of those things that allows for you to feel like, okay, I'm organized and my bed is nice. So it takes your mind in a place that you really want to stay in. We also have another comment that said, someone recently told me to stop saying I'm tired because it makes it worse. I say I'm tired even just sitting up. Oh yeah, that's true. Like you can be exhausted. Sometimes it's the emotional exhaustion. That's what I learned. I used to always tell Kali, like, damn, I'm tired, but I didn't do a lot today, but I'm tired. And then in my head, I'm like, well, it's I'm emotionally drained. We also having, Rachel has a comment that says, reclaim your touch to life. If fail and tell myself, gosh, a good job. Oh, yeah, so you have to basically give yourself, like, affirming, like, comments to make you just believe what you want to believe. It's countering that negative thinking. And you're right, it's being able to reclaim your touch. Like you said, Becca, sometimes just going outside is something that breaks that episode. Being outside is something that helps me as well to be able to tune in, get some sun, feel good, see the sunshine, see the birds, and you're like, damn, life ain't that bad, you know?
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful day out here.
But then,
yeah.
There are those moments where when you are in the house, like you said, like you have your couch. And I really appreciate you being so intentional with the space you chose to do this. You're like, face it, this is where I'm, yeah. I'm in those episodes. Yeah, that's so real. And we have to remind ourselves again that even when we are in those episodes and it feels like there's days that we're never going to make it out of it, to remind yourself, this will end. This too shall pass. Something that I say to the young adults that I work with at my job all the time is, imagine a street. You have one side of the street and across the street. On this side of the street, it's storming, it's raining. Across the street, you could see the sunshines, the rainbows, you see all the flowers, like you see all the good stuff. Oftentimes, what I feel like what we are trying to do is move from one street and jump over to the next. But what we don't realize is sometimes life don't happen like that. You can't just jump from one. There's a transition that takes place. And from that transition, it's growth new life skills that are built from that. I tell people all the time, what we need is an umbrella to walk through that. Mm. And that umbrella could be that one thing we do. That umbrella could be going out with friends or having a supportive system to help carry the weight for you when you can't carry it by yourself. And so while this conversation was something that was so real and so vulnerable, I really want to admire the strength that it took for you to come and share your personal experience to allow folks to feel valid in their life experience if their experience also doesn't mimic what we see on social media, like the highlights. And so, before we close out, you see how fast time went?
I know. I'm like, time went by so
quick. And I know this is a conversation that we can continue to have all the time. And we will. We have a couple more folks and mothers coming this month. But Becca, something that I want to highlight that you really created a platform for is that don't give up.
Yeah.
In those times where you were on the edge and you're like, this is it, hang in there. Because what you experienced is a transition between those two, that you saw what life could look like without you there, thinking that it was for the benefit of everyone in the picture. But then you were able to realize after right. that you being in the picture is what was the best for your family. And I admire that so much. And I am such honored to be in your space, to be a friend of yours as well. And to have you as someone that I can come to, especially when it comes to postpartum. I hope that you continue to be an advocate for such experiences. but also an advocate for yourself and being able to share more of your life experiences, because we see so many folks are tuning in and they're like, yo, this is so inspiring. This is what I've been going through. This is like, people are really feeling that. And so is there anything else that you would like to leave our audience with before we close out?
I think before any of it, I need to thank you for you, because this platform, what I'm telling you, like, you know, finding out when you're in a miscarriage room, the conference room that they pull you into, and they have the pamphlets everywhere about like your next steps, you really think you're the only one. You really think you're it. Like, no, like this hasn't happened to anybody else but me. And back then, when Johnny and I walked out of that room, I really thought it was just me. It was one man island. And so, you know, I think it's beautiful. Johnny and I talked about it when we left dinner the other night, of like this platform that you have created to allow the stories to come out, to allow this space, this safe space to be there to have these conversations, because it wasn't there 6 years ago. And it wasn't, and it's also needed, because miscarriage is way too common. Postpartum is way too common for nobody to talk about it, for nobody to feel safe about it.
So, thank you. So and I appreciate you for, I know is this your first time ever doing the IG live and being on a podcast?
Girl, this was it. You pulled me out of it.
So your first, but not your last, right? I love
it.
Thank you to everyone who has been participating in this. We've maintained a good number of viewers on here. For folks who are listening on the podcast on Spotify and Apple, I see you. I appreciate you for also joining. Tune in next week as we welcome in two different guests, and we're going to begin having the conversations of how does pregnancy and having a baby impact our relationship with our partners, right? That's another conversation to engage in. And so I really hope that I can see you all there as well. Let's shower Becca one more time with so much love in the comments, all the hearts, however it is that you are giving love. Allow for her to feel exactly what she gave us important to us. So Becca, I love you. I appreciate you. And I'm gonna call you after this.
Yes. Have to recall.
I know.
Johnny's already out here trying to plug a part two.
He don't look, but what he don't know, we don't pull him in here with us.
Right.
Exactly. Of course. Thank you all. Have a great night. Really appreciate y'all. Bye.
Thank you again for tuning in with my podcast, Healing Ourselves Heals Our Hoods. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on your notifications for future episodes that will be full of authentic storytelling by members of our own community. You can find me on Instagram at CONFI_DEZ. If you haven't already gotten your copy of my poetry book titled The Becoming of Her, be sure to get yours today. We forget that reading is just as reflective and powerful. I'm sending lots of love and peace and light to you all. May we continue to heal ourselves and each other every day.